for your daily table, Rabbi Yehuda Steinberg.
Good morning. Yisroi had seven names. Right? One person with seven names. Why would one person need to have seven names? He also had seven daughters. You can imagine with each daughter, he promised the whole Nadan a house, or in a soli called Sidur Male. Then he had to take out tremendous chayvus, and everybody came chasing after him. So what happens is, every time, he had to find himself another name. That's the most of the Zichusa, obviously. Yisroi, the great Yisroi, interestingly enough, Klal Yisrael do not have many or almost any children named after Yisroi. It's very interesting. He has seven names: Ruel, Yesa, Yisroi, Chivav, Chever, Keni, Peturi, and none of those names have been accepted kimat by anybody that we know. I once heard, and I don't know how musmach this is, that Yisroi gave up. He left. And Klal Yisrael, with their collective memory, were put off by the way Yisroi didn't stick it out. He came, he joined, he was enthusiastic, but we see in Parshas Baal Yischa, when it's time to go to Eretz Yisrael, he goes back home. And because he didn't stick it out, Klal Yisrael, with their memory, somehow do not want to call their children after him. There's a deeper message as well. Is that, why did he leave? Rashi tells us he left because he wanted to be megaya people who lived where back home. He wanted to mechanach his family and his children. So to speak, he gave up on his own chinuch to worry about the chinuch of others. And Rav Galinsky says that that's a mistake that we do not want to emulate. Many times a person thinks, the main thing is that I get my children to do the right thing. If I don't, it's not so important. And that's a very, very big mistake. I remember once going to a shmooze by Binus and Eber, Mashgiach and Eretz Yisrael, and he was describing very vividly how a person can sometimes, you see, go to shul, and a person standing there, instead of davening himself, every 2 seconds is turning around to his son, look inside, or points at him, or try, you know, pushing him. He thinks he's doing a good thing. Ad kedei kach, that he said that somebody once came to him and told him that he had a certain minyan where he felt he could daven well, and he gave it up so that he should daven where his son davens, in order that he should watch over him. And he said it's a huge mistake if a father goes to shul and he davens properly and he works on his tefillah, and he lets his son to grow on his own accord and his son should see from him, then that way both the son and the father will shtayv. But if he gives up on his own chinuch and he thinks to himself, I'm okay, now I just need to worry about how my son steigs, that's not a way to grow. And that's what Yisroi did. And it's interesting, for that he's criticized to the extent that we do not name after him. One of the names of Yisroi is Yesa. And Rashi explains to us, why was he called Yesa? Yesa means extra. Because we add a parsha and the Torah was added by him. Which parasha in the Torah? The parasha of Atosecheze, you shall appoint Dayanim. I heard this from Zev Lefschlitter, and since then I've seen many others say the same word. We've got a true idea, you see many say it. That if you look in the Pasuk, Yisroi doesn't start talking in the Pasuk of Atosecheze. Yisroi first tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you're doing a huge mistake. You're judging everybody. Novel Tibur will be too much for you. You, everybody around you. This is no good. The system is no good. And then he says, suggesting that you should appoint other judges. So mayor, so alofim, so chamishim, so asoris. You've got to appoint other people. Make a whole system. Why, when Chazal tell us that Yisro is called Yesa, that he's added a parsha, to Chazal ignore half of what he says and only mention the second half of what he says? And the answer that I heard, and is seen in many places, is because the first half of what Yisro says is a criticism of what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing wrong. The second half is a suggestion how to do it better. Anybody can criticize. The chokhmah of a person is to be able to find a way to do it right. That was where the Yisroel is praised for. We're not interested to hear how we did it wrong, but what he found a way to correct and to show good advice. Yeshiva Bacher told me this joke recently. So this came around in Yeshiva that the Bacher, you know, Lachem Ne'er Ve'esim, everybody goes to stand in Beis and Shemala, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to him, what have you learned? Yeah, you learned Chumash, you learned Mishnah, you learned Gemara. Which Gemaras have you learned? Teach. You have to say everything that your person's learned in his lifetime. It says, one person comes to Beis and Shemala, and Hashem says, Anus, what did you learn? So I don't know what I learned, but any shtickle Torah that you tell me, I'll find a way to shlog it up. That's what he said. That's unfortunately, people have an ability to criticize others. They don't have what a good way to be able to talk about what they have to fakoyf, what they have to sell. But they've got a very powerful way to be able to find ways to find what other people are saying is no good. Yisro is completely ignored regarding that. It's only when he starts with Atta Sechaz that you should appoint, then he's received. It's a very important point. They say a story about the Shabina Rav. Shlomo Lawrence tells us a story. And they saw there's a huge school system called Chinuch Atzmoi. It's a religious school system with hundreds of schools, and it's set up for the Frum, but not perhaps the Frumers, not perhaps the ones of the most Haimish, but it's a Frum school system. And what happens is, once somebody came into the Shabina Rav, a Kanoi, and gave him a whole drosha about all the things that are wrong with Chinuch Atzmoi, a long drosha, and he was so happy that Shabina Rav sat there and listened to me. He thought, oh, I've got his attention, he's listening to me. And he went on, and after he finished speaking, so Shabina Rav said to him, so I assume you're right, I hear what you have to say, so tomorrow you're going to set up a school system, hundreds of schools, for all the tens of thousands of pupils, you're going to set it up with all the with a better way, you're going to make a much better system. So he said, no, that I'm not able to do, I can't do such a thing. So he said, if that's the case, the last 20 minutes you've been talking, it's just been pure Lashon Hara, Moshe Shemra, for no tellers whatsoever, I ask that you should never come back to speak to me again. It was a shameful expression because the person was just finding ways to criticize. Yaakov Kalinsky once said, there are two people that chase after mice. A housewife and a cat. What's the difference? A housewife would prefer there's no mice around. A cat needs there should be mice around, it needs something to eat. There are two people that find fault. There are those who prefer there are no faults whatsoever. The housewife. They want, everything should go well. That those who are like cats, they want there should be mice around. Because in that way, they have what to gnaw on, they have what to chew, they have what to eat. We have to make sure that when we see fault, it's not that we want fault. We want to see the correct way of things being. When Yisrael is praised for adding, it's Ve'ato Sechazet, for the things that he chose to do better, not for the things that he found fault with. It's interesting, just that people like sometimes Gematrias or Mozim. The Gematria of Yisroi is 616. The Balei Torah says, because Yisroi came before Matan Torah, so the Yud is the Aser Sadibros that he heard directly from Hashem. And the 606 is because he became a Goy, so a Goy has 7 mitzvahs, and the Yid has 613. So therefore he added 606. The Yud is the 10, plus 606, that's also Diblos, plus the 606 mitzvahs, which he added by becoming a Ger, Yisroi, Yud and the Tov Reish Vov. I want so another pshat is 616, is he had the 613 mitzvahs, plus the Chazal tell us that a Ger has 3 extra chiyuvim, Tvila, Korban, and Mila. Even though it has even a bigger chiyuv than a normal leader, got these 3 things, Tevila, Korban, and Mila, that a Ger has to bring a Korban when he becomes. All game of today have to bring a Korban when Mashiach comes. In fact, the Shechachma says very interestingly that the Pasuk tells us that Yisrael brought Oilos or Shlomim, a Korban Oila and a Korban Shlomim. Why did he call Oila and Shlomim? He says it's obvious. The Shlomim was because he had just had a Bris Mila, so you have to have meat for the meal. So he brought a Korban Shlomim that everybody can join for the Suda Sabris. And the Oila, because every Ger has to bring a Korban Oila. So the Oila of the Shlomim were not just some extra Korbanos. Oila as Geirus and Shlomim as the Suda Sabris Mila. It's an interesting Meshach Chochma. My father Shlita says a beautiful word in this parasha. Many beautiful words, let's just say one. So like this, that the Pasuk tells us that Yisroel left his land to come to the Midbar. So Rashi asks the question, do not know that Klal Yisrael are living in the Midbar? Why does the Apostle need to emphasize the fact that Yisroel came to the desert? And Rashi answers to tell you the greatness of Yisroi. How great was he that he was sitting b'rumei shel olam. He was sitting in the cupboard of the whole world. And he left it all to go into the desert to hear the word of Hashem. Is it true that Yisroi sat b'rumei shel olam, b'chvodei shel olam? The last time we met Yisroi, he has 7 daughters. And they're trying to get a little bit of water for the sheep. And they're chased away. That's not major kavod shel olam. Well, Rashi said as follows. Why did Yisroi get pushed away? Because Paroi wanted to hurt Klal Yisroi. And what happened was, he had 3 advisors. And Yisroi says to him, don't shepherd Klal Yisroi, it's a mistake. And for years and years, Paroi seems to be succeeding. For years, everybody's watching how Paroi is making Klal Yisroi work for him. And he's getting what he wants. And the whole world thinks that Paroi is doing very well for himself. And Yisroi, who says he should serve Hashem, is pushed away. People put him in a cheirim. They don't even give anything to his daughters. No water. After 80 years, the last, it's Pashas Chazal, it was 80 years before Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that this advice was taken by Moshe Ba'afar. That's when throwing the children to the sea. Moshe Ba'afar was 80 years old. So, after 80 years of everybody being mezalzel in Yisroi, after 80 years of everybody saying to Yisroi, you're wrong, comes the Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, and now everybody sees that Yisroi was right. For after 80 years of being rejected, imagine a scientist, for 80 years everybody says he's the worst scientist in the world, he's got it all wrong. After 80 years he's proved right. So now suddenly Yisroi became Berumo Yishol Olam. Everybody said, oh Yisroi, you're the greatest. And what does Yisroi do? He leaves it all. And he goes to join Klal Yisroel in the Midbar to learn more Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's adding a very important point. We understand Yisroel was great. Yes, he had a lot of greatness, but what the point is, he had waited 80 years to finally get recognition. And when he finally gets the recognition, he rejects it all and goes straight to hear what Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisroel have to teach him in the Midbar. There's a beautiful, beautiful sepurno in this week's parasha. It's very kedai to see that Moshe Rabbeinu became the king of Klal Yisroel. And Yisroel, his father-in-law, asks him, will you come out to greet me? And Moshe Rabbeinu goes, and him, and Aaron, and his children, and the whole of Klal Yisroel, to give cover to Yisroel. He says, that is the greatness of Klal Yisroel, that when they reached power, when they reached greatness, they do not forget those little people that helped them in the past. So to speak, little people. Goyim, he says, are not like that. The Goyim, the moment they get power, the moment they get recognition, they forget about everybody else. They only think about themselves. But great people, tzaddikim, are not like that. He gives a marshal, the Sa'a Mashkim. In prison, he was all wanted to hear what Yosef had to say. But the minute that he's out of prison, he forgets about Yosef. Yosef at tzaddik, he was sold by his brothers. And when he comes out, when he finally is king, he's very nice to his brothers. He looks out for them in every possible way. Moshe Rabbeinu, he goes out to greet his father-in-law. Esther Tzadekus, the Pasuk says, "Ma Mordechai Esther Oisa Kasha Oisa Bom Noitoi." It's not too early for Purim, I think. But he passed through Mishrat, if you think about it, that Esther, when she was Mordechai Tzadek's wife, she was devoted to Mordechai Tzadek, every wife. And Mordechai Tzadek was the G'dol Adoi. And now she becomes the queen, the second most powerful person in the kingdom. Achshverosh offers every time half the kingdom. She has everything she could do with. And she remains as faithful to Mordechai as she was before. At tzaddik, it doesn't get to his head, his power. The fact is, he remains as faithful to the people before him as before. That's what we see from Moshe Rabbeinu. We see that from Yosef, we see that from Esther, we see that from many tzaddikim. That when they get great, they don't forget the people that in the past. But if a Shoim are not like that, a Rosha only thinks about who can help him now, and he's not interested who helped him in the past. It's a nice form of Tzimus expulsion. There's a famous word, but even though people, perhaps everybody will say this word in different ways, but it's kedai to hear it. Everybody asks the kasha. Pasuk says that Yishma Yisroi, and Rashi asks the question, Ma Shmua Shoma Upo. What did he hear to come? And Rashi answers, he heard Kriyas Yamsuf from Rechemes HaMolek. And this Rashi is very strange. The Pasuk itself says, Ki Hoitzesh Mitzvah Mitzvahim, he took him out of Mitzvahim. It doesn't mention neither Kriyas Yamsuf nor Rechemes HaMolek. And also, what was so special about Rechemes HaMolek? And there's a word which is said in different aspects, but this is one way of saying it, and it's a very important Nakuda. Rashi was asking, Mashmua Shoma Uboh, what made him come? Meaning, everybody heard about these things. But what made him come? Why didn't he just stay at home and think about what he had heard? Why did he need to come out? And the answer was that he heard Qiyas Yamsuf from Al-Khamis Amalek. Qiyas Yamsuf was a tremendous ness. A ness which made the whole world tremble. And shortly afterwards, Amalek comes and attacks Klal Yisrael. A person can hear the greatest things, but if it doesn't change him, he will remain as evil as he was before. When Yisrael saw the contrast between Qiyas Yamsuf and then immediately afterwards Melchemes Amalek, he realized, I can't stay at home. Other people heard about Qiyas Yamsuf and look what he did to them, nothing. I have to do something to grow from it, otherwise nothing's going to change. Mashmoa Shama Ubo, what made him come, if the Kabir Melchemes Amalek after Qiyas Yamsuf, that's a sign that hearing things is not enough. You have to do something about it, you have to come and hear. The Kosgum says, Shmua Shoma, to hear. The Gemara says, Lishmiri, many times. The person, the Amor doesn't agree with something, he says, Lishmiri, I haven't heard it. And the Gemara explains, Kolima Lishmiri. The word hearing can also mean to hearing, accepting. What did Yisrael hear? Mashmua Shoma, what made him understand and to accept it? And that was Qiyas Yamsuf Melchemes Amalek. You realize you can hear, but you need to do something more. You have to listen. You have to hear it better. It's not enough just to hear. The Duvda Magid says a beautiful marshal. It's a simple marshal, but it's an important marshal. He says there was once a simpleton, and he comes into a town, and he's walking there, and he's exploring, and he's amazed. There's big buildings, there's taps, all things which he can't possibly fathom. And then he sees train tracks, smooth tracks across the ground, and he's walking along it. It looks like a path made out for him. And in the distance, he sees a train coming very fast. And the train driver sees a person standing on the tracks and starts hooting. And the person, the simpleton, hears the hooting. And what does he say to himself? Wow, music accompaniment on this tracks. And he starts dancing on the tracks. He's all delighted. And people are screaming at him. And they're saying to him, can't you hear the hooting? He says, yes, I can hear it. It's wonderful. I'm hearing it very well. The answer is he's hearing something, but he's not understanding, he's not listening to the message behind it. So he hears a hoot and he thinks it's a music. He doesn't realize the hoot is telling him, get off the tracks, you need to save your life here. Yisrael heard and he understood, he listened. So a story about Rabbi Sazano Meltzer, it's a famous story, a beautiful one, that he was once, Abai Levine was a rov in his shul, and there was somebody in the shul that didn't treat his wife properly. So Abai Levine decided, which Minchamayev will speak about, how a person has to treat his wife. Now, Mrs. Zalmanzer was very devoted to his wife. There's many stories about it. But what happened was, he heard the shmooze. And what happened was, afterwards, he went to Bai Levine and said, thank you so much. I'm going to listen to you. I have realized maybe I don't treat my wife properly. And I'm going to be even nicer. His wife's called Hinda. I treat my Hinda much better. I treat her like a real queen. And Bai Levine said, the person that I was speaking to walked out home thinking that they obviously meant others, and this is now, this is an ulcer which I didn't mean. He thinks it's about him. A person needs to learn to hear a message to see what it affects him. Think about what have you gained from this message. Yes, so he heard something, he will bore, he realized he has to grow from it. This week's parashat Bemis is two completely different inyonim, as Yisrael and Matan Torah. I just say one more point about Yisrael, very short, but Victor Miller says, but it's also an amazing idea. One of the things that Yisrael tells Moshe Rabbeinu is that he should teach Klal Yisrael, es haderech asher yelchu voidat olem, es haderech yelchu bo. He should tell them the way you should go in it, the way of the Torah. And the Gemara Bava Metzia tells us that we learn from it many halachas, because Cholim, Avos Hameis, all the halachas we learn from this one pasuk, V'da'atel Masaderech Yilchu Bo, the path of Torah, teach them the path of Torah. He says, many people are aware of the mitzvahs of the Torah, less people are aware of the path of Torah. Mashgiach once told me a nice point. He says, he tells Bochum, if you move to America, you become Americanized. You might start eating more pizza. You might start speaking with a certain twang. Yeah, it's a twang, a certain accent. You might behave differently, perhaps more confidently. Yeah, there's different ways. You become Americanized. When you join yeshiva, or when you become part of Klal Yisrael, you have to become more Torahdik, more Yiddishlich. There's a path of Torah. person just keeps the mitzvahs and never becomes part of the path, he's not really joined Torah, not part of Klal Yisrael. The person has to understand Torah is not just a set of rules. It says haderech yilchu bo. I'm not going to speak long about it, because it's something which a person can and should think a lot about. Yisrael said to Klal Yisrael, it's not enough to have Torah. It's haderech yilchu bo. You have to walk in the path of Torah. Yeshiva Bocha has to learn to become a yeshiva man. A person who wants to feel part of Klal Yisrael has to become like a Yid, talk like a Yid, walk like a Yid, think like a Yid, behave like a Yid. This is all part, it's a path of Torah, it's not just the actions of Torah. Now we're going to talk about Mamad HaSinai, Matan Torah. However much we talk about Mamad HaSinai, it's never enough. That the greatest of Mamad HaSinai is beyond anything we can imagine. And many times, we've talked about this here before, the Rambam, in many places, Gerz Teiman, in other places, talks about the chashivas of Mamad HaSinai. He says, whenever Klal Yisrael get together for any occasion, the one topic they should talk about is the greatness of Mamad HaSinai. Mamad HaSinai taught us a munah, taught us a munah in Hashem. Mamad HaSinai is beyond everything. In fact, the Torah tells us, the Torah, that every mitzvah will make a bracha asher k'dishonu b'mitzvah yisov. We shake lulav, asher k'dishonu b'mitzvah yisov, adnisei l'asur lulav, shofar, l'shmoyah kol shofar. When it comes to Torah, every day we make two brachas. Asher k'dishonu b'mitzvah yisov, etzonu l'asik b'divei yisov, and asher bocha abonu mikol ha'amim, nasanonu es teiru osu. Two different brachas every day for one mitzvah. Why would we need a second bracha for one mitzvah? Answers the two. One bracha is to thank Hashem for the mitzvah of Torah, and one bracha is to thank Hashem for Mamad HaSinai, for bringing us to Mamad HaSinai. Every single day you make a bracha to thank Hashem for Mamad HaSinai. Think of a moshel. First wants to buy his wife a very important present. That's the anniversary, 50th anniversary. Wants to buy a really good present. You have two options. One is to buy something very expensive, a necklace, something which costs hundreds and hundreds of pounds, thousands. Another is to provide an experience to take out, right? Take her to Eretz Yisrael, to all the Mekumim Sekedoshim, Kosamos Machpelah, go to the Grand Canyon, I don't know, do something exciting. It's two different things. One, the gift is the item, and one, the gift is the experience, the time you're showing, you're giving her love, the experience of what she sees, that she might get influenced, she might get to enjoy the experience, right? Uplifted from the experience. So one time you can give a gift of the item and you can give a gift of the experience. When Akshbohu gave us the Torah, there were two separate presents. Imagine you give a necklace at the same time, you take around to all that, you do both together. Akshbohu gave us both. The Torah itself is a gift, right? It's a beauty, the greatest of all gifts. And he gave us the experience of Mamad HaSinai. Mamad HaSinai was a tremendous experience. He gave us both gifts. The experience, and that's why, for example, in Leila Seder we say, Ilu kivonu lifnei HaSinai v'lo nosa manu esa teru dayenu. It would have been an experience just to stand in front of HaSinai. Going to HaSinai itself taught us so much. So there was two separate gifts of here. That's why we have two separate brochas. One brocha is for the gift of Torah, and one is for the experience of Mamad HaSinai. A person has to be responding in it that every single day we make two brochas for Torah. We mentioned, think about what we learned from HaSinai. We saw Emun in Hashem. Ato Avisol Odaska Hashem Olekim Inod Mavadei. Rashi says, when did that happen? By Mamad HaSinai, Hashem opened up all the worlds, whatever that means. And we saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvoido V'Atzmoy. So that we saw Emun in Hashem. We saw Emun in Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. And we saw how He taught us the Torah. So we got Emun in Torah. Emun in Moshe Rabbeinu. Gam B'chol Ya'aminu Lo'ilom. They saw the greatest of Moshe Rabbeinu. Emun in Nevuah. The Ramban explains that until Mamad HaSinai, Klal Yisrael can fathom the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can speak to a human being. And the Nevuah literally means Hashem speaks to a human being. But once they stood at Mamad HaSinai, once we stood at HaSinai, therefore we have now a Munna in the Nevuah. Think of how much a Munna is in HaSinai. And we also have love in HaSinai. Am Segula, Am Leches Koyanim, Goy Kodosh. Think about all the different expressions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the world in so many different ways and showed Klal Yisrael in so many different ways how much He loves us. I mean, think about all those expressions by itself. Am Segula, what's involved in Am Segula? What's involved in Mamleches Kohanim, a nation of princes, Goy Kodesh. Each one of these expressions, and there were many others, if you go through the psukim and the whole ma'amad, showed the world and Klal Yisrael how much Hashem who loves Klal Yisrael. And we also gained from Ha'asana Yira, fear of Hashem. The Eimo, the Vesas, the Bezir, they got the Torah, they saw the fire, they heard the Shofar. Ma'amad Ha'asana is a tremendous thing. I mean, the Rambam writes about it in many, many places. The Meshech Chochma writes that every person should look in the words of the Rambam, writes this in the Hakdama to the whole of Shemois. The Rambam Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Ches, Halacha Aleph, and Halacha Gimel. I was going to read it out, but I've got so much time. Just, you have to think about these Rambam. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Christ sought to not believe in him just because of the miracles. Kriyas Yamsuf, okay, he did Kriyas Yamsuf because Christ needed to escape the Mitzvim. He brought them on, we needed food. He split, he made water count, we needed water. That wasn't the proof that we have in Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the proof? We saw no strangers. Our ears heard and not anybody else. What did we see? The age, Kovis, Lapidim. We saw Moshe Rabbeinu going up the mountain. We saw him speaking to Hashem. And we saw Ponim Beponim Diba Hashem. Hashem spoke to him face to face. And he goes on that this was the proof of that Moshe Rabbeinu. We saw at Har Sinai things which cannot be duplicated by any other things. And he says that nothing comes close to it. And in Halacha Gimel he says, therefore, if a Navi was to stand up and he were to be miracles, he would stop the sun. But he would argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. We wouldn't listen to him for a moment. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's proof is not from a miracle. If it's a miracle, it's another miracle you can start questioning. But rather because we actually saw it happening. We saw it with our eyes. We heard it with our ears. He says it's like if a person was to stand and watch something happen. And then somebody come along and says to him, it never happened. Would you believe him? No. He says even thousands of witnesses would come along. It won't make the slightest difference. Because you saw it happening. So the same thing by Ma'amad Har Sinai. We saw it happening. It's the Ma'amad Chassidah, Teher Perek Ches, if a person has a chance. We have to appreciate what Ma'amad Har Sinai is. The Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael were very scared. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Ba'avu Nasa Is Eschem. In order, L'Nasa Is Eschem, Osa Elikim. Hashem did it, Ba'avu Nasa Is Eschem. Rashi says the word Nasa Is over here means to uplift you like a banner. Nes means a banner, right? Akshboch wants to make Klal Yisrael high above all other nations, like a banner. Ba'avu Nasa Is Eschem, in order to make Klal Yisrael highest and greatest above all other nations. That's why he made Ma'amad Har Sinai. The Ramban says, Ba'avu Nasa Is Eschem. Ramban says, in order that you should get used to, like David HaMelech said to Shaul HaMelech, when you put on, you don't want to put on armor, I'm not used to it. Kleni Seisi, I'm not used to it. Ba'avu Nasa Is Eschem, in order that you should get used to the greatness of Hashem. That you should get accustomed to the greatness of Hashem. But the Rambam, in the famous letter, Igeres Teiman, says a whole new explanation. Igeres Teiman, the Rambam wrote it to a community that was struggling with very, very harsh Arab leaders who were causing them tremendous suffering to try and force them to give up Yiddishkeit. And the Rambam writes that Ba'avu Nasa Is Eschem, it forms the word Nisoyen, a test, in order that Hashem should be able to test you. I'll give you a Poshto Moshe. Imagine a teacher comes in and says, today we're having a test. What's the test going to be on? It's going to be on the history of Japan. Have we ever studied the topic? No. A test on a topic you've never learned. What kind of teacher is that? That's no way to do a test. First you teach the topic, then you make the test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for thousands of years, has been testing us. But first he has to teach us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to teach us the answers to everything before he can test us. Ba'avu Nasa Is Eschem, in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to test you, in order that there should be something to test you on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make Ma'amad Har Sinai. And the Rambam goes through in the letter how the Ma'amad Har Sinai is the answer to all tests. If the goyim come along and they try to show us favor and they say to us, look, we'll be nice to you, we'll respect you, we'll give you cover, we'll give you wealth if you give up Torah and Yiddishkeit. So you'll say to them, what are you talking about? Can you give us anything which is in comparison to what we got in Ma'amad Har Sinai? Nothing you can give us compares to that. So that is Bavu Nasis Eschem. And if they try to chap at us and try to make things harsh, so we'll say to them, we saw the fear of Hashem B'mamut HaSinai, we saw that the only person we have to be scared of is Hashem. So Bavu Nasis Eschem, in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to test you for all those generations, the answer to all those questions, all the struggles, even today, is Bavu Nasis Eschem comes back, the answers lie in B'mamut HaSinai. This is one of the aspects of Mamad HaSinai. There's other places, the Sefer Kuzri, the Sefer Achinuch in Akdama, they all talk about the Chashivas of Mamad HaSinai. There's a person there, so called Mordechai Neugershon. He once brought together hundreds of not yet from people, and he was speaking about this. And he said, an interesting idea, but there's many others. This is just one. He says, you know, there's a famous game called the Chinese Whispers. Well, basically, the theory is, if I tell one of you something and I ask you to pass it on to someone else and pass it on to etc. all the way around the room, the chances that the last person will have the same information that I gave is very almost minimal. So you ask the question, what could you do to avoid the problem? Let's say you were playing a game of Chinese Whispers and you want to make sure that the end, the last person will have the exact information that was given to the first person. What could you do to overcome the challenge of Chinese Whispers? It was a group of Balei Tshuva, or people not yet Balei Tshuva, and he wanted to pique their interest. So they came up with different ideas. He writes that he came up with 7 ideas. We say, but these ideas are not necessarily, it's not the only ideas. His ideas were that you should reward someone who does it right. Every person who gets the information right will get a very big reward. An alternative, a second idea, any person who gets it wrong will get a terrible punishment. Another idea, he said, is that you should take something around to remind everybody. Let's say that the information I'm going to give is that I've got £100 in my wallet. So you pass the wallet around when you say the information. So having the item in your hand reminds people of the information. Another idea was to write it down. Writing down is much easier to remember. Another one was that everybody has to repeat it 100 times. Right? I say to you something, you repeat it, then you say it, and you repeat it, the next person repeats it 100 times. That's another way to remember it. Another one is to do it every day. Every day we go through the same game and repeat the whole game. Or to divide everybody into separate rooms and then see at the end if they all come back with the same answer. These are different ideas. And then he said to them, think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave us the Torah. He gave us items, the tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah, to remind us. He told us to write it down. It's written down in the Sefer Torah. There's tremendous schar for those that remember it right, and tremendous einish for those that remember it wrong. And we have to constantly review chazor and Torah, something we might have about and bomb. We should only speak in Torah. And we have Shabbos, Yom Tov, different days to repeat the whole exercise. What he was trying to demonstrate is that the whole Mamad HaSinai has the ability to strengthen the Messiahs. You could do it with your own ideas. There's many other ways to do it. Let's say the Chayolim, the stipend, this week's parasha goes on as well. That you've got these ideas of how to think about Mamad HaSinai and to realize 600,000 people, 600,000, that's millions, that's just the men. Millions of people saw it, not like any other miracle which is done just in front of individuals. It's all these ideas are all just mechazik the amunah. This is just his game, how he did it to strengthen the point. There's an interesting chidor, fascinating chidor. I mentioned because it's like a Musadik idea. The post says, Lo sachmoy, you shouldn't desire what other people have. And the post says, V'chol asher levayecho, on everything that your friend has. The chidor says like this, Ayin, whenever the Torah uses the word Ayin, I, is usually mentioned in the plural. Eyes are mentioned in the plural. From the eyes of the nation. Why is it always mentioned in the plural? Because everybody has 2 eyes. Right? Everybody's got 2 eyes. Since everybody's got 2 eyes, a person, whenever the Torah uses, mentions the word eye, it's usually mentioned in the plural. It's always a bit Kabbalistic. But Ayin Hora, Ayin Hora, is always mentioned in the singular. Ayin Hora is always mentioned in the singular. Why is it always mentioned in the singular? Chidor says if you want to put Ayin Hora into somebody, the way to do it is to close one eye and only look at him with one eye. The Chidor, that's what he says. Doesn't explain, I'm saying he has his sources, etc. I was thinking like this. Where does jealousy often come from is when a person only sees a little bit of what somebody else has. Let's say a person sees somebody else got money, more money than him, so he's jealous and he's got more money. Somebody else, his children are doing better. Somebody else gets more covered. Somebody else is healthier. So what happens is each person sees one aspect of somebody else's life and that makes him jealous. So he's looking with a very narrow focus with only one eye. Jealousy is the source of Ayin Hara. When a person opens both eyes and the person looks with a much broader perspective, there's no Ayin Hara. Because then immediately a person realizes that, okay, so-and-so has more money. But look, he has struggles with other things, struggles with health. Somebody has more covered, but does he have the same success with his children, etc.? Looking with both eyes takes away the whole concept of jealousy. Because when the person realizes that everybody has their ups and downs, everybody has their struggles and their successes, and that's what the Pasuk says, and everything that your friend has. Look at everything that he has, and then you will see that there's no reason for you to be jealous. Moshe Weinstein writes in this week's parasha that Moshe Rabbeinu was told first to speak to the women and then to speak to the men. And he says there's a very, very important message. He says that a woman is the basis of the way a house is set up with Torah. That's an important point to say with Friday night meal, if your wife is sitting there especially. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to first speak to women. You know, ladies first, as a kosher concept. No such thing as walking behind a woman. It's also up your halacha. The ladies first is not true. But when it came to Torah, the Torah was taught first to women. Why? Because they are the ones who set up the way the house will be run. The Malbim, a very interesting Malbim. Ramim says, "Benoseinu chazovius mechutovus tavnei seichel lamin tehillim." Those who sing it, Motzei Shabbos, will be aware, will know the pasuk. "Benoseinu our daughters chazovius are like cornerstones." He says the way builders do it, I've actually seen it once, is they build first the corners of the extension of the house, and then they take a string and tie from corner to corner, and then they build all the bricks accordingly so that it should all fit in. The corners are built first, and then afterwards everything fits in according to those corners. But they say no, our daughter's spaces, at the end of the building you don't see the corners. The corners are usually hidden between the walls. You don't see the outer corners. But they were the ones that set up the whole house. But they say no, our daughter's chazovius. The Yiddish house is the way that the daughters, the women, to behave and their hashkofa. A person can make a big mistake, both men and women. Men perhaps are not respecting the wives enough, and by women are not respecting themselves enough. By realizing they are the ones, which Shpinkas used to say. A woman doesn't say, a man says, Lekai neshama shasat to be, and a woman also says that. A woman also has a neshama, just as great as a man. A person has to be aware, people make a mistake, they think that men have a greater neshama. No such thing. A woman is the setup of the whole Yiddish house. And that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to teach Klal Yisrael Torah, he first had to approach the women, because they would be the ones who machanech the children, they set up the home, and it's a very, very important message. One final point is like this, we'll come close to Shabbos. Shabbos hi melizik, ufur kvei v'lovin. Shabbos hi melizik is Roshetevos Moshe. Moshe, Shabbos hi melizik, mention hey. Ufur kvei v'lovin is Roshetevos koil. Moshe yedabe v'olikim yanenu v'koil. Moshe, Shabbos hi melizik, Moshe yedabe v'olikim and Hashem yanenu v'koil. When a person connects to Shabbos, Hashem will answer him bekoil u'afur koi v'lovoi. So it's a vetel, but it's brought down in the Chassidus Forum. It's an interesting point, because Shabbos itself heals. Torah was given on Shabbos. And when the Torah was given, everybody got healed, like Rashi says. So koyach ha-Torah heals, and Shabbos itself has within it the power to heal. So that's why we say to somebody, that Shabbos Yimelizai, connect to Shabbos, Ufur Kvei V'lovoi, Mimele you will have Ufur. And that's Merumas in the Pasuk, Moshe Yadabe, through the speaking of Moshe of Shabbos Yimelizai, V'olikim and Hashem Yanenu Bekol, will answer him with Ufur Kvei V'lovoi, that's what Shtevus of Kol. It's always Zeich to connect to Shabbos, to steig to Shabbos, and Akshvuch Shan Zul Ufur Shreem Amin. Adonai Kofi.